Blog Talk Radio.
Exactly how it's supposed to be.
I'm right here. Can you hear my voice? My life, my love, my Lord, my baby boy.
As they nail me to this tree, just know the Father. Not the end. I am making all things new again.
I remember when you were born, and that manger where I first held you in my arms. So
me, Lord. What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it all. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I could try to be there, all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I did through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it all. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. And now that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands, Jesus. I wasted it all. Help me, Jesus. I know what I now that I know that I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Got one more song I want to sing, and we're going to get to the message. I want to say God bless you all, for those of you that are listening in on the program. And may the Lord bless you this Easter week. Oh, I got the wrong song there. Let's try this one.
Car insurance. Get covered for as little as $20 down with Good to Go Auto Insurance. Get a free rate quote and fund.
Sorry the music's not too loud. I'm trying to do the best I can to keep this broadcast going. So here we go, 4 days late. The news came to Jesus. Lord, please come back. Lazarus is sick. Without he will not last. Hallelujah. Mary and Martha watched their brother die. They waited for Jesus. He did not come. They wondered why.
Woo!
Death watch was over. Buried 4 days. Somebody said, he'll soon be here, the Lord's on his way. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him. still be alive. But you're 4 days late. Lord, all hope is gone. Jesus, we don't understand why it waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. Oh, isn't it great? He's 4 days late. He's still on time. Jesus said, Martha, Lord, show me the grave. But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been dead 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back, and Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. Then somebody said, he's alive, he's alive. Look, he's alive. You may be fighting this battle of fear. You cry to the Lord, I need you now. He has not appeared. Friend, don't be discouraged. Jesus is still the same. He'll soon be here. He'll roll back the stone. He'll call out your name when he's 4 days late. And all hope is broken and gone. Lord, we don't understand why it waited so long. But his way is God's way, not yours or mine. Oh, isn't it great when he's 4 days late? He's still on time. Oh, my God is great when he's 4 days late. He's still on time. Praise the Lord, isn't it good to know that God is still on time no matter what our situation is? Amen. Let us go and pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you just bless this message. Lord, I pray that you turn this message into the wonderful, most glorious Easter message that we could ever stumble upon. Lord, as the week coming event, the Easter egg extravaganza, God, I pray that you bless the kids who come and bless the characters who play their hearts out, pour their hearts out for these parts. Lord, we love you and we praise you for this wonderful gift that you've given us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. You know, as I go to think about this Easter, I think about Christmas. You may ask, why do I think about Christmas? Well, what does Christmas have to do something with Easter? Well, Christmas is gift-giving. And whether you are appreciating that gift or not, you can either do one or two things. You can either take it, you can either give it to someone else, or not take it at all. I don't know about you, but if it's something that I would really, really not appreciate, I would just accept it to show appreciation for those who even try. Because, you know, when you think about the economy, there's a lot of people out there that cannot get these expensive gifts, all these new updated watches, all these new updated PlayStations, all these new updating gifts. You know, there's just not really much out there that people can really afford, especially with those that are on low economy. When they do get a gift for one another, then the choice is either to accept it or throw it away. Or there's that best choice, if you can't use that gift, just give it to someone else. You see, Christmas, some people take advantage of Christmas because it is the of money and not the meaning of cost of someone being born on that very night. So what if you don't have a lot of money? I've seen people share and give away pieces of cloth or even a bubble gum. A piece of bubble gum would satisfy them, or, you know, just something small of that nature would bless their heart to receive something. But the importance about Christmas is gift giving. A lot of times you go into the dumpsters out there in the streets and you find these gifts in the dumpsters, whether it be ties or whether it be old necklaces or whether it be old watches, you find them in the dumpsters. Because why? Because it either A, didn't fit, or it just wasn't to people's liking. I want to tell you about a man that was a very loving man, who was sent down from heaven, who stepped down from his throne to take on the worldly flesh, that grew up before Israel, the gift that grew up before Nazareth, the gift that would soon grow up before Jerusalem. And just like any Christmas gift that's not appreciated, just be thrown away and withered into the dumpster. We're going to start off in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 5. Actually, I'm going to start off and read 1, because all the scriptures pertaining to this is very important to the message that I have to give today. It says in verse 1, who has believed our report? Again, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as the root of the dry ground, is no form nor comeliness, when we shall see him, or that no one should even have the beauty to want him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it as if it were faces far from him, seeing him not. Once you go with me to Psalms chapter 22, verse 6, I want to read something very important to you. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 6, there's a certain scripture that sticks out, and it brings even a deeper meaning, and it's like one of those wow moments. You have to catch this. Actually, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 24, and it's the prayer in the Song of David. It says here, in verse 1 through 6, it says, The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwelt there. For he hath founded upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul into vanity, nor sworn to the promise deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness of God of his salvation. So the question I have for you today is, who is going to stand at the cross? Jesus Christ. You see, Easter, we look at Easter, and in a way, Easter, to me, people treat Easter like as if they would Christmas. Some think that it's not really a day to celebrate. Some think, oh, it's just another day that goes by, while some just stop to smell the glorious, refreshing promise that God could ever made us through his only precious Son. As I preached last week, it was the cost of one woman losing her own flesh by flesh and bone to bone and skin of kin and skin of skin, and giving up to an angry crowd that just would not stop until Jesus was gone. There are some there that thought that it was the end of Jesus, whatever they did, whip him and scourge him and put a crown of thorns on him and put him to a cross. It wasn't that it was the end. It was that if only the people would receive and believe, see that same Jesus. So the song that I sung was, why me, Lord? Why did God choose me? Why did God choose you? Why did God choose anyone? He could die in their place. Because without Jesus, there would be death. There would be sorrow. There would be no happiness. Even though the violence goes on today, there would be a lot of violence if it hadn't been for the Lord. When Jesus prayed in the garden, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. In other words, spiritually, he was willing to step up, and he was willing to step up to the plate and take on this garment. But physically and fleshly, Jesus said, Father, I don't know if I can stand this pain. I know that I'm about to be nailed to the cross. I know that I'm about to be cut down in the flesh. Isn't there some other way? If there is, Father, show me so that I may see. What is this going to mean for your people? What is this going to mean for me? But then, just in a humble moment, Jesus cried out again, praying in that same prayer. He said, Father, if it be your will, I will accept this sacrifice. Now, folks, let's think about in time, the people of Israel were about to receive a brutal punishment because, number one, they would not straighten up. They would always fall out and into the path of God, and they thought that God was just some kind of business in their lives, and they treated it that way. And God was going to take the cup of wrath and pour it upon all the people. But instead of pouring his wrath upon all the people, what did he do? 3,000 years ago, in the hand of Abraham, that Abraham was fixing to slay and kill because there was no remaining sacrifice to be killed. And Abraham was going in willfully to give up his own son for God's people. Abraham faithfully lifting up that knife, getting ready to stab it into his son's heart. The father looked gracefully and said, Abraham, no, stop. Don't lay your hand on the lad, for I have provided a way for you. Think about that for a second. Just stop and think about that. Close your eyes and listen. Don't lay your hand upon the lad, nor either touch him. I have found a way for you. Folks, you may ask me what Jesus is to me in my life. Jesus, to me, he's not just a crutch to get by in life on, as some people think he is. He's the rock that I can stand on. He is the eternity that I can depend on. He is the strength that I can grow in. And he is the love that I can endow in. Because the Lord is my helper. And in my time of need, he will always be there. He'll be there for me. He'll be there for you. He will be there for everyone who looks upon him. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean, we all go through trials. Even me being a preacher, I preach God's word. I still go through trials and tribulations to this day. I look back and I think about the time whenever my own son was born and all of a sudden just having to let him go. It wasn't easy. It wasn't even right. God had a special plan and a special place for that boy. But no matter what, he's still my little man. When I was in the delivery room and the ICU or the NICU, I was watching every moment that my son held on to, every moment that he fought, I was right there with him. And I kept saying, come on, son, you can do this. And I remember as I was laying there, as I was praying, I prayed, and as I was talking to God, I said, God, please don't take him. It's as if he was saying, Daddy, I can't fight anymore. I hope you're not disappointed in me, Daddy. Daddy, I love you. You'll always be my daddy. But I'm going to a heavenly father and a loving grandmother who I'm going to get to spend eternity with. And not just that, Daddy, but I'm going to go help my Jesus prepare this place for you, because he's not done building yet. He's still working on that progress, that wonderful, glorious Jerusalem. You know, I think about the verse in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, had it not been for Jesus, we would have all perished. Cup of wrath poured upon us. We would have all suffered the iniquities and the consequences that we were about to go through. But what did Jesus do? He said, no, Father. If it is your will, I will step in the way and I will take this cup of suffering. I will take this cup of wrath on my shoulders so that your people would have a way made for them. We read on down and we go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Five through seven, and here's what else it says. In Isaiah chapter 53, make sure I'm in the right, going into 5-7, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, we were on the red line, folks. We were going to be the ones to suffer through desolation. We were going to be the ones to have the wrath on our shoulders. We were going to be the ones to be punished by the Almighty loving God. Then we wonder how a loving God could be so holy, punish those he loves. Well, the Bible says, God loveth, he chastises. You see, folks, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of chastisement every once in a while. Even me, to this day, I need chastisement. I need to be reminded of the stripes that Jesus took on his back. I need to be reminded of the crowns that Jesus wore on his head. I need to be reminded of the nails that was driven into Jesus' hands and feet, because it clearly wasn't for that sacrifice. I could have made it on my own. I couldn't have withstood any trial that was before me. Great love, that great sacrifice that Jesus had and still has for us to this day. Many people today, they want proof that the mighty Lord died for them. They want proof that what he did for them was for them, because they misinterpret the Bible and they think that, oh, it was for the earlier Christians. We're the ones that are condemned to going to hell. We get to go to heaven, and it's only if Jesus chooses us as one of his own. But if that were the case, there would only be a select few that would make it there. Aren't you glad Jesus chose all of us? Give us that eternal glimpse of love, that eternal glimpse of joy, that eternal glimpse of forever bond, just like a father between a child. You see, when Jesus was praying in the garden, the Bible says that great sweat, his sweat, became great drops of blood. Because he was in so much agony in the garden that it wasn't even funny. As he thought about you, as he thought about I, as he thought about everyone out there, he was in that garden in agony, praying for you and I, worried about our salvation, looking out after our heart, looking out after our soul. Jesus himself was praying for us. On the other hand, while Jesus was loving and spreading his word and doing the will of God, what did the people do? They talked and they remorsed every little thing that Jesus did, even from the point of raising the little girl up from the dead to healing the crippled woman. They martyred him greatly, and they growled him, they crucified, and they whipped his back, and they cut him into pieces. The same people that welcomed him into Nazareth, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna is here, the Almighty Hosanna, praise God, Hosanna is here," are the same ones that were waving those palm branches, were the same ones who are mocking and scourging the Savior. The Bible says even that we are fearful, believe it or not. You want to know what that means? That means we're nothing but cowards. Jesus, that night, they arrested him in secret because they had to do a cowardly act because they didn't want to mess up parts of the Passover. And neither, I don't think it was part of the Passover, they didn't want to interfere with Pilate's jurisdiction and laws of curfew. They didn't want a riot to be risen. But let me tell you something. Are you kidding? There was already a riot rising up. Because this was the same man that had forgiven a woman when she was on the ground, and they were, and all of those that were about to stone her, the scribes, the Pharisees, the woman whom Jesus forgave, the demons that Jesus casted out of the men. This was the same man they wanted to lay their hands on and take away secretly. And there was no way of letting Pilate know until they got it all planned out. So he had to play it in a jealously most cowardly way. They locked Jesus up for one night, getting their plans and everything together and ready so that when the day came, they would make their story look so great that Pilate would be on their side. Sounds. That's how true it was, folks. Jesus was loving, caring, passionately hugging all those children, even the lamb that were lost. He would be there along the way, following in his arms. That same Lamb of God would soon be taken in secret, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, betrayed by one of his own disciples, denied by one of his own disciples. Yes, even his own people denied and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Paul says, what if I were to lose eternal life and gain this whole world, what would it profit my soul in exchange for giving away this wonderful gift? And give in exchange for his own soul if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I would say Judas himself was asking that same question when he himself decided to tell the Pharisees and the scribes that, no, this wasn't the man. This wasn't the man that I thought he was. So he thought better that he would buy Jesus out, sell him to the crowd, so that he would be made fun of and be crucified that following day. Good Friday was a dark night. Saturday was a very sad day. But Sunday, Jesus rose up, and that became the most glorious day, a victorious day, because he defeated death. Victory, took keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he lives forevermore. Pilate was so scared of Jesus that even he that was facing Jesus, he said, "Are you the King of the Jews or of this world? Then my followers would come and fight for me. But my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is with my Father." And the Lord Pilate got afraid. He then asked himself again, "Is it true that you really are a king?" Jesus says, "Is this you who asked me?" He said, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate asked him. He said, "Your own people had handed you over to me." Pilate asked Jesus, "Who are you to ask me this question?" And Jesus answered not a word. Jesus then looked up at Pilate and said, "I am of who know my truth. Hear them. Will listen to me." Pilate then found out that he was not winning any type of argument against this man. When it came to his wife, even been together for more than 33 years, came up to Pilate and said, "Pilate, you need to let this man go, honey, for I've had great nightmares about this man." Put together the trial with the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. Washed his hands over the whole thing and turned and released Barabbas and turned to crucify Jesus. So the next question we have to ask before we go on a break is, why an innocent Lamb of God? After all, Pilate said to the people that, I find no fault in this man. He's done nothing wrong. Why do you want to crucify your king? And then they blacked him in the eye one more time and said, "We have no king, but Caesar is the one we answer to." Putting the final nail in the coffin, taking Jesus back to the memory of, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God, after turning over the tables in anger, after whipping and scourging the people out of that temple. Jesus said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a house of den of thieves and a house of trade." I want to take a break, and we'll come back with the rest of this story in just a minute.
radio this morning, and this guy has pet tarantulas. He has pet tarantulas. That's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gives them water. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
What about food?
No food. What, they die? No, they don't die. So.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure what's going on, but of course, we're back to our show, and it's our Easter special, our Easter spectacular of our Easter presentation. Anyway, so here was Jesus. They mocked him, they scourged him, they put a crown of thorns on him, and they yelled out, "Crucify him." Then they led him down the hill of Golgotha to nail him to the cross. There, as he was hanging there, there was a right hand and there was a left hand man. They were right there beside him. He was in between the two. One was accused of stealing, the other one was accused of murdering. The murderer said and looked at him, mocking Jesus while he was on the cross, and said, "If you are the Son of God, the Almighty, Great One, you come down from the cross, save yourself and us." But the thief, who knowingly knew Jesus deep down inside the heart, said, "Do you not fear God? For this man has done nothing wrong. We're the ones who deserve this death. We're the ones who deserve this. We are the one who deserves this judgment that we have, that we're up on the cross." And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when you go in your kingdom." Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Just like that song saying, "Some call it heaven, but I call it home." What about you? Do you call it heaven or do you call it home? No matter what Jesus did, though, the price was paid, no matter what it is to us. And we're the ones who get to enjoy that eternal salvation. We're the ones who get to enjoy that eternal great gift of love, that eternal great gift of exceeding joy, that eternal great gift that one day when we wake up the next morning, all tears are going to be wiped away from our eyes. There's going to be no more pain, no more suffering, no more agony, no more defeat, no more violence in schools, no more rampaging with the government. We're all going to be in peace with our Lord and Savior forever. No one's going to have to worry about cancer or crippled legs anymore. No one's going to have to worry about getting sick or getting fired from a job, because in heaven there's going to be plenty to do. No, I can't wait that I get there, because I want to see my Lord, my Savior. That same Jesus that came out of the tomb, that same Jesus to greet Mary and said, "Touch me not. For I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to your Father and my God, your God and my God." Oh, what a wonderful line that is. That same line that I'll get to be doing is the character of Jesus whenever the resurrection comes into play. The most glorious day that could ever rise, Jesus going up in the skies, holding his hands stretched out for me in loving arms to set me free, with a smile on his face and a light all over his shell. No longer will I have to be worried about suffering that terrible place called hell. He's given his life at every cost to come and seek and save that which was lost. A granted soul that I must not take. Jesus, my Savior, my Comforter, I awake. question for you today is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? And just in case that you don't, Jesus said, suffer the little children, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Paul Song. I want you to just listen in to this wonderful song, and you can sing with me, if you will. It's one of my favorite songs. And if you don't, you're not saved, I want you to ask Jesus.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the rose, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is singing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him through the night around me be falling, but he through the voice of war, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and Jesus talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful night, this wonderful message that you have really brought to our eyes and opened our hearts and opened our ears to hear. Lord, we love you, and may we never take advantage of your wonderful, precious gift that you've given us. Even though that a long time ago, that gift that came before Israel and Nazareth and Jerusalem were despised and taken and thrown into the dump. You were trampled like a rose on the ground. but Lord, you still choose to love. God, I pray that you just bless the rest of this night. Bless those that listen to this program and heal those with broken hearts, have lost loved ones, or any of those loved ones that they had to give up and promoted to glory. In the mighty name of the precious Son, we pray. Amen.